Our second lesson, went too quick. Our second lesson for today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, which we will hear in English, Chinese, French, and then Spanish. And then I will finish up with verses 37 through 47. Listen for God's word to speak to you. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
从天上下来，好像一阵大风吹过，充满了他们所在的整座房子，又有舌头如火焰向他们显现，分开落在他们每个人身上，他们都被圣灵充满，就按着圣灵所赐的口才，说起别国的话来。
Lorsque le jour de la Pentecôte arriva, ils étaient tous ensemble dans le même lieu. Tout à coup, il vint du ciel un bruit comme celui d'un souffle violent qui remplit toute la maison où ils étaient assis. Des langues qui semblaient de feu et qui se séparaient les unes des autres leur apparurent. Elles se posèrent sur chacun d'eux. Ils furent tous remplis d'Esprit Saint et se mirent à parler en d'autres langues, selon que l'Esprit leur donnait de s'exprimer.
Cuando llegó el día de Pentecostés, estaban todos juntos en un mismo lugar, y de repente vino del cielo un ruido como el una ráfaga de viento impetuoso que llenó toda la casa donde estaban sentados. Se les aparecieron lenguas como de fuego que repartieron, se posaron sobre cada uno de ellos. Todos fueron llenos del Espíritu Santo y comenzaron a hablar en otras lenguas, según el Espíritu les daba habilidad para expresarse.
So the disciples go out into Jerusalem and they speak to all the many people who are there, and there's a long list of all the different kinds of people and the different people from different areas. Some people think that these disciples are drunk, and Peter gets up and gives a long sermon. And after the sermon, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for those who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as they had need. Day after day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Lord God, thank you for your Holy Spirit that fills us, that speaks to us in words too deep for understanding, that sends us out to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord God, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may hear and know your call on our lives today. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In 1963, John F. Kennedy went to West Berlin and gave a famous speech in which he said, "Ich bin ein Berliner." Some of the folks who were not huge JFK fans noted that one of the translations of that type of that particular sentence was not the intended, "I am a citizen of Berlin, I am one of you, I am a compatriot," but that "I am a jelly donut." There's been back and forth, and it seems that what he said was pretty reasonable, and it was meaning exactly what he meant. But communication is hard, isn't it? It's a challenge to be able to get the thoughts in our brains and place them in someone else's brain, because that's ultimately what communication is. There's a whole branch of philosophy called hermeneutics that talks about what is language and how do we do this and what is meaning and what is interpretation. Even standing here on a Sunday morning, I can speak this particular collection of sounds to get an image or an idea that's in my brain and put it in yours so you have an idea what I'm talking about. Sometimes it works well, sometimes it doesn't work as well. It's pretty amazing. We are particularly mindful of this idea of communication and how difficult it is when we hear or speak to someone who speaks literally a different language. When we hear the words of those leading worship, and they are not words that we are familiar with. In fact, sometimes they're not even sounds that we are familiar with. But things don't just have to be in a different language to be misunderstood or understood in a different way. No, we have different dialects. We have different ways of speaking. If I were to say something like, "No tea, no shade, no pink lemonade, Jezebel is a messy queen and I am here for it." Some of you may have an idea what I'm talking about. Many of you may not. Or, "Yo, I stan Miley. My girl's new bop is aesthetic, honey." Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? No. Sometimes we can understand all of this, the words, but the meaning can be lost. Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Passover, Easter, disciples, 120 of them, gather together, probably in the same upper room where they had the Passover meal with Jesus. They are waiting because they were told by Jesus to go to Jerusalem to wait because I'm giving you a helper. They have no idea what they're waiting for. They're just waiting. And then, like the rush of a mighty wind, the Holy Spirit comes into the room, alights on each of them as if it were a flame over their head. Every single person in that room was filled with the Holy Spirit. To understand how remarkable that is, we might go to 1 Samuel, which says that the word of the Lord or the Holy Spirit in that day was exceedingly rare. So rare that when the Holy Spirit, God's voice, speaks to Samuel, he thinks it's Eli the high priest. And he goes and wakes him up in the middle of the night. And when Eli hears it, he says, "It wasn't me. Go back to sleep, kid. I would like to sleep." And it happens three times before Eli finally figures out, well, maybe it's actually God speaking to you. That's how rare in the Old Testament the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was. And yet, here on Pentecost Sunday, every single person in the room is filled with the Holy Spirit. And it makes us as Presbyterians a little bit nervous when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, because we don't know what happens next. What happens for these disciples is they go out into the town of Jerusalem, where all of these people have gathered. It is Pentecost. It is Shavuot for the Hebrew people. People have gathered around. This is the one of the three major holidays in the Jewish religion. People are filling Jerusalem. And they go out and they speak. They go out and they preach. They go out and they tell about Jesus, the Messiah. This, maybe even more than the Holy Spirit coming out upon all flesh, is a game-changing event. Because up to this point, the Jewish faith has been very much a centrifugal thing. It is a center-focused thing. Nope, that's not right. Did I get the wrong one? Centrifugal? No. It's center focus, whatever that the fancy word for that is. It was center focus. So the Jewish people said, if you want to come and believe in the Lord God, come to us. Learn our language. We'll tell you about him. Come and become like us. Come culturally. Become the same as us. Come and learn at Jerusalem. Come and learn at the temple. Come over here and you can become like us. But for these apostles, again, they are those who are sent out, not just disciples, those who follow. They go out into the streets of Jerusalem and they begin to speak. But they don't speak. The language is very clear here. They do not speak so that everyone can understand. They speak the language that other people can understand. From this point on, the church goes from their history of being a center-focused religion to one that is outward-focused, that goes out and speaks to those around them. And the Holy Spirit at this point gives them the ability to speak, not only in the language that people can understand, because at this point everyone can understand Greek. Most of the people who are here can probably understand Aramaic. But they're speaking to them in their heart language. They're speaking to them in the first language that they learned. They speak to them in words that they might actually understand to tell them the grace of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. People are so taken aback, especially because most of these people are from Galilee. They're from the north. They can barely speak their own language, let alone other languages. Somebody comes up with a bright idea. Oh, maybe they're drunk. Because I don't know about you, but after I've had one or two too many, I spontaneously start to speak in a different language, right? And Peter says, no. The reason for this amazing thing, is because Jesus from Nazareth came and died. And by the way, he was not very, you put him to death. You killed him. But he raised from the dead. He is the first fruit. His resurrection bears witness to our future resurrection, and we are here because of a man who died, who is now alive. And we are speaking to you by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you too may know. It's been many years since that first Pentecost, that birthday of the church, and we as the church sometimes have gotten to be much more center-focused. Come worship with us. Come understand our language and the way that we do things. Come and visit us, and we'll tell you all about God, which is good to a certain extent. But on Pentecost, we are reminded that our call is not just here, but our focus is there. In the Reformed tradition, our windows, I've told you this before, I think, are clear or frosted, but they're clear. The purpose is that we see or are reminded of the world around us. Our call is to go to other people. And by the witness of Acts, we're to learn their language, to communicate with them on their terms, to understand and listen to the way that they see the world instead of just telling about how we see the world. This is our call as the people of God, and sometimes throughout history we've kind of lost that focus. But we are reminded once again to go out into the streets of Jerusalem or Metairie or New Orleans, to speak to people, to use words that they will understand. You notice the difference. It's not focused on us, it's focused on them. Use words that they can understand. Use words that make sense to them. Communicate in ways that make sense to them so that they can know the grace of Jesus Christ, because the grace of Jesus Christ is for them, for you and your children, for those who are far off. The good news of Jesus Christ is for all to hear, and so our call is to go and to communicate, to translate the gospel, to let people understand what it means. It's a challenge. And I can bear witness that the Holy Spirit is a part of this situation too. I can't tell you how many times that I have stepped out of a pulpit and said, "That was a stinker. I don't know what was going on there." And someone comes up to me and says, "Thank you so much for saying XYZ. And then they say something that I didn't actually say, but apparently they heard. Because the Holy Spirit is at work. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of Pentecost, is that when we go out, when we try to communicate the gospel, God is at work in us and in those who hear. But we need to go, to get out there, to proclaim the gospel in the ways that we know how and the ways that we can learn, focused on those around, not on ourselves. Amen.